Hello, everyone. This is the Pacifica Foundation National Finance Committee's meeting for August 25th, 2020. Paul, will you take the roll, please?
Okay. Please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams?
Here.
Nick Arena?
Here.
Teresa J. Allen?
Present.
Fred Blair?
Here.
Chris Corey?
Here.
Dwayne Lark? R. Paul Martin here. James Sagerton?
Here.
Anita Sims?
Here.
Nancy Sorden? Lena Vasilyev?
Here.
Okay, that's nine.
Very good. Thank you, R. Paul. Okay. R. Paul, do we have any minutes to approve?
Yeah, we do.
Have you sent them around?
Yes, they were sent out this morning.
Yes, very good. Okay. Trusting that everyone has had or will look at them, may we approve the minutes?
Mr. Chair, we
yes.
need to adopt an agenda.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Correct you are. I skipped that one. Okay. Shall I read the agenda? Or would you like to read it?
You can do it.
Okay. We have convened meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Roll call. Adopt agenda. Approve minutes for 2 minutes. Chair's announcements for 2 minutes. Report from the IED Lydia Brazan for 10 minutes for the report and 15 minutes for question and answer. I must say I sent Lydia an email. I didn't get a response. I'm not sure if she'll be here, but so we'll see. Analysis of year-to-date financials from Director Corey. I don't know if Chris has that for us today. Perhaps we'll do that next time. And then we have the ICFO report from Anita Sims, a 10-minute report, 15 minutes Q&A if necessary. Number nine, we have reports from the stations on their budget timeline progress, KPFA, KPFK, KPFT, WPFW, WBAI, 20 minutes. Number 10, we have central services formula, 15 minutes. And number 11, new business, 5 minutes, and adjourn no later than 10:15 Eastern time.
Mr. Chair, could we just drop the 5 minutes for new business since new business goes to the end anyway?
I'm content for that. We're going to be quite tight on time. I think this is all going to be subject to extensions, but also there will be some possibilities of just moving on if certain things, certain items aren't available. So that's fine by me.
Objection.
Yeah, let's ask, is there any objection? So, actually, don't we need to approve the agenda first, R. Paul, and then go to amending?
No.
No? Okay. Very good. All right, so I'll move to approve this agenda, items 1 through 11.
Alan moves to approve the minutes as amended.
But we're not there yet.
Yeah, R. Paul said we didn't need to do that. I guess what we did was we changed them a little bit before we approved it. So
wait, no, you're talking about two different things. She's talking about minutes.
Okay.
You're talking about the agenda.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Okay.
What happened is you made a motion to adopt the agenda, then you read the agenda.
Correct.
All right. Are you now you're?
So now
you're,
I want to move the agenda,
and then
we can
the agenda as amended.
Yeah. So why don't we do that, and then if we want to, as amended. Okay. Is there any objection? Hearing none, let's move on. Okay. So now we go to approving the minutes. R. Paul?
Paulina moves to approve the minutes.
Okay. Thank you. And remember, they're subject to change or addition upon examination in the future. Okay.
What are the dates of the minutes that we are approving?
R. Paul?
Yeah, give me a second. All right. It's to approve the minutes of the August 11th meeting, the last meeting.
Thank you. Any objection? Hearing none, they're approved, subject to further additions, corrections. Okay, we're up to number five, chair's announcements. I don't have any great announcements today, except I want to note that on the June 11th resolution requesting that the stations submit reports on how they're going to balance their budgets within 1 week of June 11th, that hasn't happened yet. The WBAI GM has created a draft of a plan that complies with that above-referenced PMB resolution that is being proofed and verified. So we've got a start. I hope other stations are getting a start on that. I know that KPFK is working as the PNB is examining their books, so hopefully that will serve the same function. But hopefully we may still get a report. And we didn't discuss this in public. Four out of the five stations are now in complete compliance with the PNB resolution requiring the stations to give view-only access to the station's bank accounts. And view-only means doesn't allow anybody to manipulate the accounts or move money around. It just allows NEDA to view the bank accounts in real time so they don't have to wait for statements or for the stations to send them information, and that will improve the workflow and decrease the cost of our accounting. And then finally,
may I ask which one is not in compliance?
Yes, it's KPFT.
Thank you.
I wasn't going to mention that, but we know that KPFT is struggling in some areas, so we're going to try and help with that. And then we have reports from the stations on the progress of their budget processes. Will be a regular item on the agenda until budgets are complete. So this is just a way to let everybody know that I'm going to put that on the agenda regularly unless anyone objects. And then so hopefully that will make everybody aware that, you know, we'll be looking for developments, recent developments and progress reports, if available, at each meeting going forward, you know, so as we focus on this, our most important main task of completing our budgets. Any questions? Okay, hearing none, we can go to the report of the Interim Executive Director, Lydia Bazan. Lydia, are you here?
James, Fred here. I don't see Lydia on the Maestro control panel.
Could anybody call Lydia and see if she...
Sure, I'll do that, Paulina.
Lovely. Thank you, Paulina. That's appreciated. While Paulina is doing that, why don't we go to number seven and ask Chris if he has an analysis of the most recent financials, the July financials. I understand that you had not been talking to Anita. We had a conversation earlier. She said she hadn't spoken to you about it. I didn't know if you were going to be prepared, but I put time into the agenda for it in case.
I looked through my my inbox and I can't seem to find a copy of the July 31st financials. I do remember Anita saying that they've been generated, but I can't find a copy.
Okay, well, we'll just forego that for this meeting, and we can do that next time.
I do have a suggested substitution, though, James, entertain it. And that would be if we could – we were supposed to discuss the central services formula last time, but we ran out of time.
Yeah, if you see, I have that as number 10. And I thought we could – you know, that will give us time because I didn't think the amount of time I allotted was sufficient, and this will give us extra time.
Exactly. That's what I would prefer then, is just to move my time for this item up to that item. Thank you.
Very good. And I, you know, what we're having is all we have left now is Anita Anita's report and quick Q&A, and then reports from the stations on their budget progress, and then we'll get to central services. So I think we'll have plenty of time for it.
Okay.
Yes, you're welcome. Anita, why don't we go ahead to your report now while we, you know, we'll wait and see if Polina is able to reach Lydia.
Be happy to.
Thank you.
I'm hoping that, some of you received the report, because I know I sent it to the same email that I sent to everyone. But I will send yours out, Chris, right after I present this. Again, what we tried to do this time is we mirrored exactly what Chris had done for the month of June with his analysis. Just because I liked it so much, I thought it was clear and concise. But I'm sure you've received, I'm hoping everyone has received the financials, that you've looked at them at least. But I want to just kind of speak a little bit about them. We're also adopted the six-month rolling review, if you will. And our analysis also was attached. So for the, as you look by entity, by station or unit, if you will, KPFA is showing for 6 months rolling of $46,000 in the negative, with a year-to-date of a current year-to-date of $11,000 in the black. KPFK is $391,000 negative. Year-to-date actual, $484,000. KPFT is $65,000. And sorry, I didn't mention the percentages, but if you have it in front of you, it's 22% on revenues negative, with a year-to-date of $52,000 negative number, if you will. And WBAI is $160,000. Again, that's a six-month gain or loss of the six-month rolling period. Again, year-to-date of $111,000. Overall, the foundation is still trending lower with listener revenue, even from last year, and the overall revenue falling by 1.7. Again, loss because of prior year of the bequest income that was in there. So overall loss, consolidated total for Pacifica right now is $518,000 deficit year-to-date, or 5.6 of revenue, if you will. Any questions on the July financials?
Tell me where I can see this again.
I sent it on an email to all the committee folks.
Is that about a week ago?
I got it on August 21st, I think.
Thank you,
Anita.
Yeah, yes, August 21st, 3:45 p.m. Eastern time, 4 days ago.
Friday, actually.
Friday, yes.
I have a question. This is Sharon.
Yes, Sharon.
Thanks, Anita. You jumped right in, so I was, like, still opening documents and stuff. At least I did find the email, so, yeah. Now, I just heard you talk about the six-month rolling review, and if I have this correct, and it's just from memory, I believe at our last NFC meeting, the six-month rolling review showed KPFA in the positive. So I'm somewhat confused about that, because as I understand it, we at KPFA just had our fund drive and did meet our goals. So I'm sort of confused about the negative trend that you have there for KPFA.
Well, but I think their drive was ended this month, correct? What we
recently,
show
I'm
again,
not
gonna... Let me pull it up. Excuse me. Again, as of July, for the year-to-date, I think I did say they're at 11,000 in the black.
Yes.
The 6 months, And we're counting from February to July, so if you add those months up, it was a negative 46,000. But they did improve in July in revenue, and I'm sure they have in August, or I understand that they have. We've not seen the numbers as of yet.
Okay, so this is 6 months through the end of July, is that what you're saying? Or through
yes.
the end of June?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, through the end of July. Okay. Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Chris Corey for the stack.
Go ahead, Chris.
First of all, I want to thank Sharon. She sent me a copy of the financials, so I'm looking at them now, too. Thank you, Sharon. So the rolling averages do have this disadvantage, and that's that if you happen to have a really good month 7 months ago, you're not going to get credit for that.
Right.
It drops off the radar. And so there were a number of stations that started off the year really well, had a really good October. And, you know, as soon as 7 months after October rolled around, those months popped off. Like KPFT was one of those stations. And as soon as October dropped off the radar, the picture of the last 6 months became a little bit, I guess, more clear, certainly more negative. That's kind of the withering effects of the 6 month rolling average. It creates a more accurate picture of what's happened recently, but it leaves off some of what's happened in the past.
The historical, I agree with you, Chris. But again, this report, we were trying to kind of follow your lead on it. I personally do like it, but we can go back to the other one that has all the different detail information.
Chris Corey for the staff again to respond.
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. So because of the PMB motion, I think that the six-month rolling average is actually what we're required to look at. And
yes.
I think that eventually once, Pacifica rights the ship and we're out of this COVID nightmare that we all find ourselves engulfed in, we can try something different. But I think the six-month rolling averages are actually valuable for the time being in that they're very dynamic. They tell you pretty much what's going on now. And we could even shorten it to 3 months if we wanted to get even more surgical about it. But that becomes less and less fair because of the spacing of fund drives. I figured that over the course of a year, the fund drives are reasonably evenly spaced over a six-month period. And if I'm mistaken in that notion, then we should probably go back and revise the standards for review at the PMB level. But I wouldn't advise revising the rolling average until that's done. Thank you.
Paulina to the stack, please.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Thank you. Anita, I'm looking at the document you sent that's titled let me see. Why am I losing the title now? Saw it a second ago. Oh, Pacifica Financial Analysis 73120, the doc, right? The document. And
yes,
I'm just curious about the adjectives you use in the first column, which says KPFA, then negative, KPFK negative, KPFT neutral, WBI negative, WPFW positive, and then PNO and PRA has no qualifier. What do those refer to? Because the numbers all seem to be in the red for
They're referred to the year-over-year trend.
Oh, the trend.
And again,
got it. Understood.
Yes.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
and
year-over-year trend. I see that now. Okay, great. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And PNO and PRA, because of the way that the accounting works, they're on a accrual basis. They're not even included here. They essentially will always be in the black, if you will.
Right, right. Understood. Thank you.
You're welcome.
R. Paul. I'm going to put myself on the stack after R. Paul.
Okay.
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Second as I catch up with everybody. Yes. Okay. So we have from you the – now I got to go back to it. The at the top it says NFC Internal Financial Review and Discussion 6 months rolling review. That's the file we're looking at there as opposed to the spreadsheet. One, can this be posted onto the minutes? as we've been doing?
I don't see why not.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll put it at the end of the minutes. And again, all right, now last time we were discussing this stuff, and I noted WBAI general manager's differences with it. However, the last time we were talking about the 6 months through June 30th, and the general manager had the 6 months through July 31st. Well, now since we are on July 31st, it is showing, got to get the cursor off there. It is showing WBAI at 160 in the red for those 6 months, and the WBAI general manager has a lower figure than that. So I'm just making a note that we still have these differences here. Have you, now the last time we discussed this, you said that you had, NIDA has the payroll and health insurance and benefits, and
yes,
so that ratchets it up. And you said you would see about sending the WBAI general manager that information every 2 weeks so we could plug it into his QuickBooks, and thereby maybe the two of you would be in sync.
We will be delighted. I will personally call him tomorrow. We actually, when we sent out the financials to each station, I had my staff to say, if there's any differences, please call us so we could discuss. We've heard from no one, but I will call him tomorrow and find out and give him the journal entries that we would have done for the health insurance and whatever that he does not have.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Are you done, our Paul?
I think that's it at the moment.
Okay. Thank you.
Paulina, to the stack.
Paulina, I put myself on the stack, so I'm going to do that
sure,
now.
Sure.
I'll come to you after. Anita, I'm so glad that our Paul brought that up because I did have a conversation with the GM, the WBAI GM myself, and he seemed to think that he had payroll and health insurance and benefits, maybe not benefits, but he seemed to think he had some of those things. So I do hope you can straighten it out with him and excuse me, see if that might not be part of the question that we've been having about is everybody using the same chart of accounts. Make sure that
sure.
He's labeling everything in the right way and it matches up with the way that you're labeling things.
I'll check with him and I'll report back to the committee.
Thank you.
Get a resolve. Sure.
And in addition to that, I have some other questions. Netta was to remove the loan interest payments from the WBAI division, and it seems like they're still there for 2019 and 2020. And that, are we going to change those entries? Is that a work in progress, or
yes.
Where are we with that?
It's a work in progress. We're working on the 2019 audit now. But
how is that? I'm sorry. How is that going to change? Will that change what we're seeing now? I guess not, because we're not doing that anymore, are we?
Well, the journal entry will be reversed and corrected to how it was adopted in the last meeting. And I agree with you. I don't think it has been done yet.
Okay. So will that change the picture that we're looking at? For WBAI, at any rate.
Good question.
Would make their arrears a lot smaller, I would hope.
Yes, it will have an impact.
Okay, well, if we could work on that for the future. And then another quick question. This is not my work, but someone else has looked at this and was saying that KPFA's major and minor donations in 2019 and 2020 are triple their historic averages for about 10, going back about 10 years. Does that, I imagine that's before your time, so I don't know if you have any information on that, but I wonder if anybody else, Sharon or Chris, might have information on that.
Can you repeat what you just said? KPFK's what?
Their donations, both major and minor donations for 2019 and 2020. Are triple their historic averages going back about a decade. you know, for the
ECFA,
last
right?
10 years prior to 19. So starting in fiscal year 18. Again, I say this is not my work. Someone else looked at this and they came up
Did
with that observation.
Did you say KPFA or KPFA?
I'm sorry. I may have said both. I do get them confused. KPFA.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So anyway, that's a question. And I guess, Anita, you don't have the information to check on that.
I don't.
Right. So maybe
James, I can provide a brief answer. Sure. I've actually reached out to Maria about this, and I have not received a response. So it caught my attention as well. I wanted to just add one more note about WBAI versus NEDA, and that's that over the past 9 months, I think everybody would agree, including the general manager at WBAI, that the gap between those two sets of books has become decreasingly small over that amount of time. In other words, the disagreements are getting smaller and smaller as we move along between actual and what Berthold is booking. So what I would say to everybody who's listening tonight would be that that these issues are probably minor in nature and having to do with how things are categorized. And it's also possible that there's some deviations associated with PPP funding. This issue actually came up in the last meeting, and I think it was still an open question at that time whether the expenses were being logged properly because of the fact that some of the PPP funding went to go pay payroll in these various divisions. And I think this is actually going to be somewhat of an endemic problem in that if the national office is using PPP funds to pay payroll and the stations aren't, it's not going to look to them like they should book anything. I mean, that's probably going to be the sensible way for them to see things. But that's not the reality of how things should be done, in that those expenses still exist. It's just that they're being covered by an alternate source. So there'll be some back and forth about how to reconcile this and make it appear right. And it'll take some time because it is a very wild, rogue, unusual element that will just have to be resolved. But I'm confident that NEDA and the individual stations will do so. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Chris. And Anita, that was a question that came up with the general manager of WBAI today, as a matter of fact. And so maybe in your conversation with him, you said you were going to call him. Perhaps you could bring that up?
Absolutely.
That would be helpful. He's got a question about his financials, you know, operational versus financial accounting. And that was exactly his question. You know, he said, well, when he does the financial end, he ends up with a gap where there's no expense or there's no payment for the payroll. So, yes, it's a confusing thing. And that would be good if you could help him sort that out. And then perhaps that would help you work out how to sort it out for the other stations as well. And I have just a couple more questions. There are some items, which, again, perhaps you could talk to Berthold about, Anita, on WBAI's books. One of them is there's like a $2,500 thing that's lumped into consultants. And actually, it was an individual who was building our new studio, and he was buying supplies. And so I think that should go under some capital expense or something. And instead, because he paid for them and then I guess he was paid for them, it looks like it's a consulting fee. So that's something that perhaps you could address with Berthold as well. And then finally, there was a $43,000 payment for the CPB, part of the $137,000 that we owed CPB for many years. And WBAI paid that. And the question was, are we backing that out as an extraordinary expense? And would that, you know, how would that alter the picture for WBI? Was that done, Chris, in your analysis, or Chris and Anita? I guess you worked on that together. Was that taken into account?
Well, frankly, I don't think it shows up in July yet because I don't believe it was paid till August.
Okay.
I actually don't remember seeing it, but I'm looking now.
James, I'm sorry. I stepped away from the room. I'm just going to rely on Anita to answer this one.
That's fine. Anita, Anita, you don't have to answer these questions now. I'm just bringing them up as things that you could look into, perhaps.
Okay. I made a note. I'll get back.
Thank you very much. Let's go to Paulina now.
Thank you. Anita, I don't mean to give you more work, but I'm wondering, have you been in touch with or has the KPFK, either GM or the business manager, been in touch with you to also do the kind of work that you were just discussing about doing with Bertolt at BAI, because our local finance committee has been going through our financials and the budget line by line, and we haven't done the work of looking at past financials. To compare local and whatever numbers that NETA has come up with. I'm just wondering whether you've been in communication with Barry Brooks or our GM. And if that's a good idea for you to maybe try to reach out to them.
I will. I can do that. But I did see an email from him tonight that went to Tamara and myself. And I think Tamara has answered the question. So I think they are looking at him. But I'll reach out and ask them if there's any questions or discrepancies, if you will.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone else for the stack? I think we forgot to appoint someone to keep time, but my senses are telling me that I think we've spent more than the time allotted for this item. Does anybody has anybody been watching the time?
Yeah. 8:47, this item started. It's 9:08, so that's we're close.
Okay. Does anybody have any last questions for Anita? Anita, do you have any last comments?
No, sir, I'm good. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. I know you got a lot thrown at you at the last minute here. Anybody else with a question? No?
I just wanted to mention, Paulina, here that
yes.
I did manage to reach Lydia, and she is going to try to make herself available as soon as possible. And she'll call in if she can.
Oh, very good. Thank you, Paulina.
We'll hear from her.
Thank you for that. I want to just float this to the committee. I said earlier that KPFA is, their finances are being looked at very closely now by the PMB. We're having closed sessions where we're talking to the staff and to the we're looking at the books, and I know the PMB is planning to do that for each station individually. I think WBAI is next, and so on. So I'm thinking perhaps we should focus on getting the budgets done, because the PMB is doing a lot of this close examination anyway, and our work might just be repetitive on that front. How does anyone else think about that? Hello?
Paulina?
Oh, thought I dropped off.
No, we're all here, James. It's stunned silence.
No, this is Paulina. Paulina with a comment. James,
go
I
ahead,
agree
Paulina.
With you completely. Yeah, I think the budget should be our priority. Unless some urgent matters are brought to the committee's attention vis-a-vis the financials, I mean, of course, we need to be pay attention to them as some of us as members all of us as members of the PMB, but some of us. But, definitely the budget.
Anybody else on that? Go ahead, Arpal.
Sharon. Okay. And Sharon.
Okay, yeah, I think it's important that the NFC keep on top of things, because besides the fact that seeing where things are and the budget is a projection of where things will be, and we need to be able to see, the reality and what the projection and the reality relate to each other as. And also, we'll be done with the budgets at some point, And I think we don't want to say, okay, we don't know it's been going on for the past number of months. Let's start trying to figure it out now. That ain't going to work. I think we need to stay current on it. We don't have to, you know, necessarily spend an excessive amount of time on it, but I think we do need to just keep up with all the stuff that's financially going on in Pacifica because, you know, things can go sideways fast. That's it.
I think that's the logical other side of the coin, and I thank you for articulately spelling that out for us. So perhaps we could have
this
a balance.
Sharon.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Sharon.
I forgot. Yes. Okay.
Yes, please, go ahead.
Well, I just want to say I agree with Art Paul 100%. I actually don't see what we have to do with the budgets because we have nothing really to do with the budgets until the budgets come in from the various stations, and that probably won't be for another month or so, or even like two or three more NFC meetings. So, and then when they come in, as I understand it, we just review them and pass them on to the PNB. So I don't think the budgets are such an overwhelming task that we must drop everything else to focus on that. And I agree with R. Paul that I personally think, having been on this committee for a year and a few months now, I personally think our committee has helped Pacifica in the way that we have looked at the numbers. We've gone through them, just going through the financials, having a discussion about what the numbers mean. Things like talking about the central service payment, which I know we're going to talk about. I think that's an important discussion, and this is the right committee to have that discussion. And then we do make recommendations to the PNB that have been acted on. So I disagree with emphasizing the budget, and I believe that we should remain as we have been and continue our focus as it has been.
Thank you, Sharon. Good points. And I'll add an additional comment, if there's no objection, and that is that the PNB is mostly meeting in closed session on these matters, and so the committee performs a function of providing transparency so that the public can look in, the members can look in, and even if they're not looking in, at least theoretically it's public, and it keeps everything on the up and up and keeps us on our toes. So I think there's a value there, too, which, by the way, is why I think it would be a good thing if KPFA had a finance committee. But that's another issue, another question for another time. Anybody else with a comment on that question?
Fred, excuse me, Fred here.
Yes, Fred.
Yes, the KPFK Local Finance Committee has been having a number of meetings on our budget. And how would I put this nicely? We've been very concerned. The budgets we've been getting from management have been very much unrealistic. The one thing we've been asking for over and over and over again has been a...
Fred, may I interject? May I interrupt you for just a second?
Sure.
The next item on the agenda is reports from the stations on their budget timeline progress. Is that what you're basically telling us now?
Yeah, I should probably wait.
Let's move to that item so that R. Paul can keep things divided, you know, in some sensible way for his creation of the minutes. So now we'll say we're on item 8, and you can go ahead and be the first to give a report.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Fred.
Okay. As I've said, we've had at least 5 meetings on the budget. We've met 3 times in the month of, July, and 2 times already in the month of August. And we keep on criticizing the budgets that we're getting from management. The main problem is that the income displayed on the budgets are completely unrealistic. We keep on asking for a planning chart for the fund drives, specifying when the fund, the way you 80% of the income of the station, our station, comes from listener support income in the fund drives. And you can very well specify that with a fund drive chart, which specifies when the fund drives, you know, start and stop. We typically have five to six fund drives a year. How many days the fund drives last, what the daily average is. When you do those mathematics, and it's basically just arithmetic, you come out with a monthly income level for each month of the, each of the 12 months of the year. And we're not getting that. And we keep on asking for that. And, also our, general manager has not, shown up at the local finance meetings for a year now. And it's very hard to have a dialogue when, somebody is not present. So basically last Sunday at the monthly, local station board meeting, myself and the chair, and we have a separate chair for our finance committee, gave reports, and basically we asked the local station board to reject the budget as it exists currently, which the board did. And I think one of our board members also proposed an amendment to amend the existing budget, even though the board really can't do that, to specify the income for the year. So the board is not really, this is a management function generating the budget plan. It's really not for the board to get itself involved in trying to rewrite the budget. But so that's where things stand. And I know that KPFK is the black sheep of the Pacifica family right now. Anita Sims gave the numbers, and we're running the biggest deficit of the five stations, and we're running a 34% shortfall in income for the last 6 months. So we're very, very concerned about this, and we have a budget, but we really don't think it's ready for prime time. And that's where things stand. I hope that's been enough detail and clear enough for everybody.
Thank you, Fred. I'm going to ask you how you think that this will play out in terms of your budget timeline. Do you see this as being an impediment to, can you give us a prognosis on how you think this will evolve?
Well, I know that the PNB is involved with talking with the general manager on the subject, and
we don't want to get into anything that might be a personnel issue.
Right. And so I know nothing of that, pretty much. So it's really in management's court. I mean, this is a management function to generate a plan for the coming fiscal year. I don't know if management, can get that accomplished or how long it's going to take. But if management provides us with a realistic budget, we will pass it on to this, to the NFC and to the Pacific as a board of directors. I don't know what else to say. I mean, this is sort of having conversations with management, I don't know what's going to happen at this point.
Teresa, I'm just going to make a quick comment to follow up on what I just said. I think part of the function of the NFC and of the PNB eventually will be to take whatever budget comes to us and then make adjustments as is seen necessary if the budgets are inadequate in any way or not realistic and that sort of thing. Yes, thank you for waiting, Teresa. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to commend the KPFK board for trying to work it out and calling extra meetings as you thought you've needed to do. And I want to commend the national board who met. The national board has met with this general manager too, right?
Yes.
Got to work it out, right? All right. I was very concerned when something came from this National Finance Committee and it went to the PNB, and I was under the impression that our executive director was supposed to turn around and tell the general managers to create this plan. Obviously, a plan is just not saying, okay, well, we're going to have a fund drive. I just encourage you to stay calm and persistent. And
somehow secure support, work with the IED who is evaluating an employee, try to keep this person on track. I feel the same concern for our station. We had a finance
that was maybe just not
so productive, and we just all have to just keep
we hear you, Dwayne.
To work it out.
Mr. Chair, point of order. You had said you were not going to get into personnel matters. I think two references to persons who are personnel and their performance have already been stated on this line, which is out of order.
Well,
glad to see you're here with us, Dwayne.
Specific. I disagree. I just think may I just?
Teresa, if you could just hold on. Dwayne made a point of order, and I have to rule on it. And so I'm going to rule that Dwayne's point is well taken to the extent that people are, if names are mentioned, we have to be very careful not to bring any issues of personnel into it. So better not to use names, and also better not to necessarily Dwayne, I was in the middle of a sentence. I'll recognize you.
Names. I just wanted to point that out. Just one general manager for each station. So if everyone would...
Dwayne, please, wait till I recognize you. I was just about to say that when you interrupted me, but since you just expressed it well, I appreciate that. And is that all you had, Dwayne?
I just wish I didn't have to interrupt you to make that point, because you had previously made the point, but the member would have continued.
Okay, thank you. And Teresa, I'm sorry, you had wanted to say something.
I think that through the years, there have been frequent times when we've had budget problems, and it's just essential that finance committees work with general managers, that general managers work with finance committees. And I applaud the attempt by KPFK, LSB, to produce this plan. So hang in there.
Well said, Teresa. And I'm going to second your hang in there. And I want to say that WBAI, as we all know, has gone through these trials for many years. And we've appreciated the support the network has given us when needed. I know many years ago we supported the network when they needed it. And hopefully we can all get through this together. And my sympathy does go out definitely to KPFK and to KPFT, who are both going through difficult times. So that said, Fred, do you have anything else to add, or were you done with your report?
I think I've probably said more than I should.
Okay. Let's go to KPFA now.
Okay.
And what we're doing is we're reporting, just to review, we're reporting on the progress with the budget timeline, budget process.
I recall where we are on the agenda. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, KPFA, we're having our budget workshop this Saturday, so we will be going over the budget. I guess after hearing what's going on at KPFK, it seems very difficult. So I was reflecting on how I feel good that we get to have a different kind of a budget discussion. So we'll be discussing our budget. I did speak with our business manager. And in terms of the revenue estimates, it will be the historical averages that will be used. So no projections based on any. The projections of the revenue will be based on historical data. So that's how that part is happening. And then expenses, of course, will be fit into the various categories. So we have a budget template we've used in the past, and it will be the similar template as far as I understand. Which is actually similar to the one we use here. So that's it. I mean, we're on track. We will hopefully be going over that. And then in September, we are scheduled as the LSB to vote on the budget.
I have a question. May I ask a question, Sharon?
Sure.
You said you're going to have the KPFA budget workshop over the weekend. Is that going to be public? Is that going to be live streamed or recorded for later streaming or availability?
No, we weren't planning on doing that. It's just a workshop. We've always done this in the past. Last year, for example, when we did submit a budget to this committee, this is exactly how we did it. We had the workshop. We discuss various things in the workshop. It's not really a public forum because everything is temporary and preliminary at that point, which is the whole idea. So you can talk about things, and that's our plan.
Okay, I'm just going to reiterate my hope that KPFA will open up its budget process for a little more transparency because it's healthy to have more eyes on it, generally. Speaking.
I'm not sure exactly what you're getting at, James, since for years now KPFA has been in the positive. And it seems to me that if there was an argument to be made, it could be that finance committees are detrimental, just on based on the empirical data. So
I was thinking to myself,
and I reject your argument.
I was thinking to myself, don't fix it if it ain't broke. And I get that. But I think there is also a call to transparency and anyway, so let's not get into that
further. I just want to respond to that and say,
of course,
go ahead. Because the budget is transparent, and what you're talking about is a preliminary process to discuss how the final numbers will be transparently provided to everyone in Pacifica.
Right.
Especially
if
you're just talking about personnel costs and having things, you know, there's a certain level of ability of discussion that can happen when it's not all being publicly, you know, stated at every moment, and that's the idea of how our process works.
Right, and I don't want to continue. I'm going to give you one more shot after I make another statement, but then I want to discontinue this back and forth and move on. Just to say that part of the idea of transparency and doing this in public is to get public input so that the process being open and public allows for input, and then you know, the budget might look a little different when it comes out if there's been that kind of input. So anyway, I'm going to give you a chance now to respond and then we'll move on.
Okay. I don't believe there's anywhere in the bylaws, which are our governing documents that allow members, I presume that's what you mean by the public, to input into the budget decisions to the extent that you're saying that's necessary. I don't even understand. And we'll just repeat again that perhaps having finance committees is what makes the budget fail at other stations because they are being influenced by public that don't understand budget and accounting and numbers and how to get a balanced budget. So I will again say that if we are running a positive station and our budget process is transparent to the extent that we have all the expenses and cost details, I'm not sure entirely what the public should be commenting on. Like, should we be saying, the public should be saying, oh, we want to spend more on paper and less on copiers? I mean, that is kind of honestly just not even a statement that makes sense to me.
Okay. I do have a response to that, but I'm going to keep to my word. I'm going to keep, I said, please. Hello.
Please,
order. I was about to say before I was interrupted that I'm going to keep to my word and move on, even though I think I could make a response that I'm not going to. So now I did hear someone else asking to be recognized.
Go ahead, Dwayne. This is Lydia, just that I'm here.
Oh, hi, Lydia. Thank you very much. Thanks for being here.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
Well, I appreciate your back and forth. It's an unusual exchange, but I think it was interesting and revealing. So let me take the liberty of maybe addressing something that you would have in your third or fourth bite at the apple. I think the member who just spoke referred to the bylaws. I'm not mistaken. My fourth or fifth reading of the bylaws indicates that there is supposed to be a finance committee of an LSB. So again, I think that may be an indication or a predilection or disposition some of us have around at work that we can pick and choose which ones we like and which ones we don't, and therefore act on them. Now, the second observation would be, I think, that the members' reference to Finance Committee and Finance Committee members and their propensity of not understanding nor having any relative experience with budgeting very well may speak to KPFT. So I would have to, in some part, agree with the member that some stations might be better off, and maybe KPFA is better off. I know KPFT would be better off without one. But nevertheless, it is a requirement in our bylaws, and we have struggled to live up to that requirement for the last 12 or 13 years I've been associated with the local station board. I would also like to observe the fact that with members who actually create the money for the budget, I think it's really slipping and really shows the contempt some people may have for membership, because the transparency, not only transparency, but members who may have expertise in budgeting far beyond those on the board, including those who may have master's degrees in finance or MBAs or whatever, may very well be able to contribute positively to isolating and perhaps saying the priorities in the budget are not correct. So I think it's very important to allow members to be involved in that process. Now, simply we don't. In fact, there are some station managers who make it so difficult, and the FCC say that you must make your records available to the public, any public, not even just not a member. And, of course, if the FCC were ever to investigate most stations, including some in our network, they probably would cite us. But finally, I think what's more important is that if we are going to respect the membership, that members are listening to this call. So when we say that we're flippant toward members, or we discount members, or we just simply diss members and their importance and the possible contribution that some who have specific expertise in some areas could make our stations better, I think we ought to be careful about that. But
I'd like to respond. This is Sharon, please.
Sharon, I'm going to ask for your indulgence. You did have a chance.
I have a point of order. Sharon, I have a point of order.
Just a point of order, please. Okay.
I do have a point of order, though.
That would be her fourth bite at the apple. But nevertheless, I would say that it is important that all
Blaine, she's raised a point of order. We have to hear that.
Go right here.
I have a point of information,
which is there is no – I need to have a reference for where in the bylaws it says the LSB should have a finance committee, because I don't see that in my reading of the LSBs. I mean, of the bylaws. That's my point of information. And my point of order is that I do believe we're on a discussion of the budget process at the various stations and not about attacking me.
That's correct.
And not about putting words in my mouth about what I said about members either.
Okay, the part about what we're supposed to be talking about and what we are talking about is correct. And I'm going to note that we are now at time for this question. And we also have
see the
Lydia.
Point of order, Mr. Chair, just one moment. I didn't see the point of order in that retort. All I saw was someone who was.
My point of order was that we're not on the subject. Agenda item. That was my point of order. We're not on the agenda item, Dwayne. I can talk as long as you want.
Dwayne, please, Sharon and Dwayne, I've got to call you both to order. Sharon and Dwayne, Sharon and Dwayne, please. Sharon and Dwayne, please come to order. I can see that this is an issue which has a great deal of interest, and I think the thing to do is put it on the agenda for next time, and we can come armed with information. The study of the bylaws to see where we're at, and we can discuss these matters at length. But now we have been joined by the executive director. We skipped over her opportunity to be heard, and we've run out of time for this item. So I'm going to say for now, let's put this to rest. We'll discuss it at the next meeting, with its own agenda item. And I will now inquire of Lydia if, Lydia, we had made time for you. We had made time for you to give a report, Lydia, with time for questions and answers, but I didn't know if you wanted to make a report. But if you do, would you be ready to do so now?
Yeah, I don't really have a report, but I think it's important to just keep updating people about what I don't know as well. So I had received, when was it? It was over a little over a week ago, an email from Senator Harris's office, the person I was dealing with that was looking into this, and she had, you know, passed it on to someone else who was going to get onto it. But she said, if you have not heard back from SBA in a week, call me. Well, of course, then she became the vice presidential running mate. I mean, the presidential running mate. And so, blah, blah. But nevertheless, I sent her an email yesterday because I attached this time the actual form that we had accepting us or giving us the $10,000 for having applied, and that has both our number for our case number on this and the date, which is really important that this was April 3rd. But it also contains in there that the application expires September 30th. So we haven't even had a chance to upload our corroborating information yet. And so I sent this urgent email and I said, please, I don't know if you noticed this before, but you know, now we're really running out the clock. So I'm waiting to hear back. If she doesn't, I will do, you know, the texting thing. I would go on to our other senator, except that even when I filled out the forms for this inquiry for the senator's office, they ask if you've already contacted someone else, you know, and that lowers you on the totem pole for that. So I will pursue this daily again and try to get some resolution for this. But it's not a matter, like, as I said, we applied on time and so on and so forth. This was still the New York thing where they still, even though they keep telling me they fully understand that that's the duplicate application, they haven't moved on it in order for us to feel really sufficiently confident that things are moving forward. But anyway, there you go. That's my update. And of course, everything else just is, let me see what else. No, I think that's about it for right now. Everything else I'm digging into before I speak to it.
Thank you for that, Lydia. Are you able to stay and have some questions?
Yes.
Does anyone have a question for Lydia?
Marple.
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Teresa,
let me try
Allen.
And take another stack. Anyone else? Okay, R. Paul, Teresa.
Chris Corey.
Anyone else?
Chris Corey.
Chris? Okay, let's start with R. Paul.
Okay. Last time you said that the folks, the official folks, that you're supposed to contact over to Transom, so to speak, they weren't answering the phones anymore, and they hadn't been for a while because they were getting so swamped. And that's why you went to the senator's office, and they're able to get through. Is it possible that a lot of delay right now might just be because those people in the government are still so swamped that they're trying to grind through things and everything is being held up? Could that be it? And also, since we have applied and they acknowledged the application by giving us 10 grand off the top, would the September 30th deadline still apply? I mean, you know, or is the fact that we have applied officially the September 30th deadline doesn't matter, and if we finally get all of our other data in after September 30th, will it still all work out?
That's my question, as a matter of fact. That's why I sent that urgent email to the senator's office. So the September 30th date came in their acknowledgement and their email to us with the $10,000 saying, you know, we at the same time. In other words, you got the $10,000. Here's the email. You're going to be hearing from us to upload your documents. In other words, there's supposed to be a portal where you can send the documentation. And that's where it stalled because then BAI made its application. But that's my worry. I mean, certainly they should grant an extension when everyone I have spoken to at SBA has told me they totally understand that BAI's is a duplicate, that the real application is ours. And, again, we were the only ones who received the $10,000 and so on and so forth. And, however, I'm going to get back and try them again. I have not done so since I was working with the senator's office directly. But I'm going to just try that at, like, 5 in the morning because they said if you get in, like, really super early East Coast time that you don't have to be number 670 like I always am. So hopefully. And that does take me to that Tier 2 level. So it's not like I'm starting at the bottom. I already get into that other pool, but again, still waiting. And so I'm still very nervous about that September 30th date.
Thank you, Lydia. Were you done?
No, you had other people asking questions.
No, I were you done with that answer? I was.
Oh yes, yes.
Okay, and Offball, were you done?
Yes.
Okay, Teresa? Teresa, are you muted?
Can you hear me?
Can hear you now, yes.
Okay. When will the audit be done, and is everyone cooperating in getting that audit done? Because I was the last time I remember talking about it, we were told, oh, it'll only take a couple more weeks, and then we were told, well, this next audit will be so much faster because, you know, everybody knows how to give us the information. So what's the status on that? Can you tell me?
Yes, the 2018 audit was completed more than 2 weeks ago. It's probably been closer to 3 weeks or a month. And I
but
signed
I think
everything.
It was supposed to be originally done in May. That's what I was told. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So that all got done and that got sent off. And so then they've started the 2019 audit. We got approval for the new auditor. I signed that. So everything's moving like it always has to move. We are just assuming that it's going to go faster because we just came off of the audit process. So, and we have the same auditor. So, we expect that it will go faster, but it's still, as you know, a tedious task. But it is moving. I haven't heard of any delays. Anyway.
Well, I just want you to.
The CFO, that's a better question for the CFO. But again, because it has just started, I don't know that there's much to report on.
Lydia, this is Anita. I am.
Oh, Anita, thank you.
Go ahead, Anita.
And if I may just respond to that question.
Of course, go ahead.
I really do feel that we're making progress. And the stations have been supplying anything that George or Ann or Tamara reach out to ask. So, but thank you.
Okay. My second question is, so what is the status of on applying for the next round of federal stimulus money, and what amount do we expect? And where do you think we stand on that?
If you're talking about PPP, I don't know what the that has been a settled thing yet, and what the criteria will be and how eligible we will be. I can only go by what the bank that processed successfully our PPP loan did say, that the one amount, when we had asked if we could add to the existing PPP loan the amount that Tamara didn't include, which was the medical from KPFA, because they pay their own directly. And he said, no, you can't, it's too late to do that, but you can do it for the next PPP round. So that says to me, assuming that moves forward, but you still have to wait for criteria. And if last time it was, is any indication, they give you the criteria and then they kind of tweak it. But anyway, so that's where that is. So the untapped source is the one, the EIDL loan, which is the one that I've been talking about that I'm still waiting on.
Okay, so one last quick question. The EIDL loan is state money, correct?
Well, it's all kind of federal money that goes to the state. We apply for it at the California state site. So it's a 30-year loan, so that differs from the PPP loan that was very specific to payroll. And
I want to commend you on what you're doing. I think it's phenomenal. But do we need to pursue monies from each of the individual states of the other stations? I was told after the first problem with the PPP that all needed to go through the national office, but are we missing out on if we are not applying for some monies that we might be able to get through Texas?
There are other kinds of loans that are might be offered locally, but what we have asked all of the general managers to do is that anything that comes up, that's how we got in trouble, of course, with the EIDL loan, was that it came through a site that makes it seem local. There were all these local brokers that were just fishing around for the business of processing these loans. And so that's why there was just, remember, like a flurry. All of us, I think, got all of these offers. Oh, apply now, blah, blah. And they wouldn't say necessarily PPP or whatever, and they called it different names and so on and so forth. So what we've asked all the general managers to do is that any kind of offers like that that you're thinking about applying for, and also even with grants, it's really important to run it, copy me and write to Tamara so that we can let you know, oh no, you know, regardless of what this says it is, it really is still the same pot. It's PPP. Or there's others that we have said, oh please, go ahead, absolutely. That has nothing to do with PPP. It has nothing to do with EIDL. Because there are a lot of things that here in Los Angeles where I am, they have all kinds of relief types of aid that's going on, and so that's local, and they all have the same kind of either relief or disaster or because that's what it is, right? And so all we ask is that you let us know. So number one, we should know what our federal ID number is being used for in requesting money and grants and so forth. And then regardless, even if we weren't in the middle of COVID and all of this other stuff. But the other issue is even when you apply for grants, I remember one from quite some time back, there were a couple from archives, and they had gotten this grant, and it ended up costing them more money than what the grant was worth, because you had to hire an extra employee or two or something. I can't recall, but it was not advantageous in the end. And there were a couple of them like that. So you really have to have some kind of financial scrutiny of all of these offers that are coming through, and also to make sure that none of them are scams and so on and so forth. So if you run it by a couple more people, so myself and Tamara is always key, then we know we're, you know, nobody is duplicating and it won't hold anything up. And it's going to be really important if there is round two of PPP that we are might still be eligible for since we've kept the bulk of our employees.
We have reached time for this item, but we still have Chris on the stack, and I'd like to be on the stack myself. So
move
I'd like to ask
for 5 minutes. Move to a
thank you.
For 5 minutes.
Thank you. That's what I was asking. Any objection to extending for how many minutes?
Five.
I think we need to add maybe 15 or 20.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
We have other items. We have to get to the central services formula, and we're only 20 minutes from adjournment. So could we maybe compromise on
that? Dwayne Lark wish to be on the stack.
Let's just extend
okay.
for 10 minutes.
But let's decide about the extension. All right. Yeah. Let's. So we have a motion to an amended motion to extend for 10. Well, we have a motion to extend for 5, amended to extend for 10. Do we have any objections? Hearing none, we're extended for 10. If we need to do another extension, we can. So go ahead, Chris.
I'll be really quick. First of all, Arpal asked half of my question. It was about September 30th. The second, just quick question for Lydia before I make a comment about the EIDL loan is she was referring to being number 670 in the queue sarcastically. Was that for the SBA? Is that what you were referring to?
Yes, and I wasn't being sarcastic. That's the number that I am. So it takes me like a 5-hour wait on hold. Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay. All right. So you weren't being sarcastic. My final thing that I just have a quick comment then on top of the what Lydia just said, and that's that the EIDL program is an SBA program. Dwayne can pick me up on this. And so it's federal. So no, going state by state doesn't make any sense whatsoever unless you want to duplicate applications. Furthermore, what Lydia has accomplished by doing it in the state of California is to feather in a program that the state has for offering $10,000 to applicants, which was, of course, a $10,000 benefit to applying here in California. It was an incentive to get businesses here in California operating domicile in California to obtain an extra $10,000, no strings attached, for applying for the EIDL loan. So I commend her for doing that. I was not smart enough to do that for my own EIDL loan. I applied federally, and so I didn't get that funding, and I regret that. I think my understanding of this is correct. And like I say, if I'm incorrect, I think Dwayne would be able to correct me.
No, that's correct. It's federal. It's SBA.
No, thank you.
Mr. Chair, I have a question for Chris. Comment, please. On comment, clarification.
Yes, go ahead, Dwayne.
Chris, I just want to understand correctly. You indicated $10,000. So then you're saying if you filed in California for the EIDL, because it's domiciled, the business would be domiciled in California, that you would get another $10,000 on top of the EIDL grant?
That's correct. And it's no strings attached, and we've already received those funds, as far as I know. Lydia can confirm that.
Yeah, it's so one $10,000. It's one $10,000. And we got that.
That's
right.
And that's what we got, yeah.
So that is not a state grant. That's what I wanted to clarify with you, Chris. That is not a state grant. That is
a
grant that the federal government provides for any entity that files for an EIDL loan and have up to or more than 10 employees. The argument was if you had 100 employees, you should get $100,000. But the director of the SBA said arbitrarily that she was only going to authorize 10 employees as a maximum. So everyone who had 10 employees or more than 10 employees and filed for an EIDL loan got an instant, not always instant for some folks, but were eligible for 10. In my case, with 3 employees, I was only eligible for $3,000. Let's just clarify that, because I would have thought we would have gotten $20,000, but she clarified that. That's not a state grant. That is the SBA, federal government, giving $10,000 grant that don't have to be paid back because you file anywhere in the country.
I did not know that. Thank you, Dwayne. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Lydia, I have a question. Dwayne, you had requested the stack before. Was that a separate issue from what you just brought up?
Yes, of course it is.
Is it regarding the EIDL loan or the PPP?
It's regarding the EIDL loan, but I'll go after you.
I want to take the train in another direction, so I want to let you go ahead first while we're on this topic.
Okay. Well, I do know the member from KPFT asked the question, and I just want to clarify that unlike California, unlike Colorado, unlike the other blue states who have blue politicians who believe in helping folk out more than red states like Texas, Texas does not help, does not have a plan, does not have a grant, does not have any extras for small businesses. There are some local entities like the Harris County government and the city government is providing some help for nonprofits, and that would have to be filed through the city, but it is limited only $25 million for maybe 15,000 entities, but that would have to come through the City of Houston's portal and the Harris County portal in order to find if you qualify for those grants. But nothing from the state.
Thank you, Dwayne. Is there anyone else who has a question for Lydia on this subject, or I guess also for
yes,
Anita?
Yes, Paulina.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Paulina does.
Go ahead.
It seems like some people may have misinterpreted the PNB directive after the confusion with the PPP double application, that the stations, local stations, shouldn't even be really looking for local funding or applying, looking to apply because they need to run it by the PNB and that's all bureaucracy, etc. So can you clarify that, Lydia? So is the directive that local stations should still be looking for grant opportunities? And
I think it's clear because we've been getting those queries from the station.
Mm-hmm.
So they're applying, including, you know, grants and other things, and then they just send it to us. And then we just make sure it's not a duplicate of what they have. There haven't been any duplicates so far, so that's good.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Anyone else with a question on this issue? These issues. Hearing none, I'm going to ask a different question, Lydia. Back on June 11th, and this is a question that's come up in the committee. Back on June 11th, the PNB, and I wrote you an email about it, but I perhaps you didn't see that part. The PNB on June 11th passed a resolution directing the station to submit plans, any station that over the last 6 months, or now we're looking at it as a rolling average of the last 6 months from whatever date we're at now, would come up, who were running a budget deficit, should come up with a plan for how they would bring their budgets back into balance. And it was not, we weren't asking for any implementation or, you know, that's obviously a management chore, but we were just asking for people to be thinking about it, coming up with ideas, kind of like what we're going through with KPFK now. And, of course, that was June 11th. They were due in 1 week. Nothing happened. And so the question came up on the committee. Is that something that, you know, the PNB passes a motion and then it just dies, which seems to happen a lot? Or does the executive director get involved and encourage the execution of the PNB motion, or is it like, I forget who would involve it. I remember at one time the Supreme Court made some decision and some governor or president or somebody said, well, the Supreme Court can get their army and come down here and enforce their decision. The PNB doesn't have the army, kind of you do. So I'm just wondering, is that something that you're thinking about, or were you planning to help us urge the managers to supply that report, or is that something that the PNB should be working on itself?
No, I mean, I think that the What I've been saying lately is it's one thing to hear from me and even from motions from the PNB, but I think that it's also very good for the individual directors from the stations to urge some movement on it. We also have, again, this all has come about, you know, COVID has taken... has raised a lot of issues, because now we're facing issues that even when we're in areas that are not where people are going back to work and so on and so forth, I'm thinking of New York and whatever, where some of the employees are still very nervous regardless of the steps that we're taking. And so there are things that are being discussed with our unions and so on and so forth as to what to do. So it's created like a lot of situations. And most of our accounting staff everywhere is working remotely, and communications are kind of checkered. It's not an excuse. I think that once people see that we were very diligent in pursuing the plan with KPFK, that they will start to realize that we're really serious about it. But it would be helpful if they hear not just from me, because with me, they always hear interim, so they can wait me out. So it would really be good if the individual directors also try to urge them to come together with a plan. I mean, I would like to see I don't know if you guys are having robust discussions in your individual stations about plans. I mean, that's how it should work, is that it should be the station, the LSB, and the PMB, and the executive director all working together to develop a plan. So there you go. That's my thinking on
that.
I will remind everyone again on our next call. Everybody's still, you know, in fund drives and having to do the special programming and so on and so forth. Anyway.
Good. You answered my question. I was just going to ask you if you have asked them, and you have, and you'll remind them, and that's wonderful. And I will, just so you can, I don't know if this will help you sleep better, but I'll let you know I'm having a very vigorous conversation with the WPAI general manager about that. And in fact, he has produced a draft plan, and we're verifying it and vetting it and proofing it.
Good. Terrific.
And thank you for your response. Uh-huh. And I think we are now out of time. Teresa, would you like to make a motion to extend? Lydia, can you stay with us for a little longer?
Yes.
Teresa, would you like to make a motion to extend? Let me just ask, is there anybody else other than Teresa who would like to speak or ask Lydia a question? We should take advantage of her valuable time when she's here. So I suggest we move to extend. Teresa, do you have a motion to extend?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Yes, I would like to move to extend another 8 minutes.
Just to be clear, 8 minutes will take us to our time certain to conclude our meeting. Would you like, I don't know if this is appropriate to do, well, let's do one thing at a time. So we have a motion.
We don't have to do this again. You know, if we have something else other than me asking this question, maybe I should say, I move that we extend 10 minutes. If that
would. Well, I was going to say let's take it one at a time.
Chris, with a point of order.
Go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say it's okay to postpone. I'm fine with postponing. Let me put it another way. I move to postpone my item on central services to the next meeting.
Okay, and I was also going to say that we would also need to, I'll ask Arpal this question, do we also need to move to extend the time for the meeting, Arpal, or by extending the time for an item, do we automatically extend time for the meeting?
We will at some point. Right now, let's see, I have 5 after, so if we extend for 8 minutes, we're still inside the meeting, but if we want to go beyond that, we probably need to extend the meeting time then. But it's good item now,
good
meeting then.
Good point. My clock is a couple of minutes fast, so I'm thinking that an 8-minute extension would take us over time. So what was your time to extend, Teresa? Was it 8 minutes or 10? Eight minutes, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever you want.
Well, 10 will bring us. Ten will bring us to our past our time. So let's say 8, and then if we're still going hot, we'll consider extending the meeting.
Oi, okay.
Sorry about all that.
No objection.
Do I hear any objection to extending for 8 minutes? Hearing none, off we go. And thank you, Chris.
Thank you. First of all, I do want to say thank you to Sharon Adams. I think that I agree with you that especially at times when you need to be strategic, that not every meeting has to be public. I don't know how people can plan, marketing plans or things that are strategic when you feel that everybody else has to be in the room, including in addition to the people that were elected to make those decisions, elected representatives. Okay, but my point is this. About this plan, I really, really would like to see a plan. Lydia, are you asking, because we haven't seen a plan, and are you asking the general managers to come up with this plan, which we should have had in June? Are you asking for them to put it in writing? Or are you asking the general managers to get with the LSBs and work to come up with a plan?
No, that wasn't the motion. The motion was to have a plan. So I'm working with the general managers. They're in my purview. What I am saying, in addition to that, and I've said this on the PMB level, is that I think it's really important for the directors to get involved and also for the LSBs to be involved, which always used to be part of the process on the years that I served on the LSB, because that is in the bylaws in terms of the LSB's role having to do with budgets, and the budgets are part of the plan. I mean, I don't know how you develop a plan without a budget, and it's key to it, and all of the players are part and parcel. So there's one motion from the PMB, and that part I'm executing, and I will refocus on that. But right now we are focusing, as I said, what I laid out at the beginning of the year was my vision was to have an overview of the network and then go station by station and drill down. And your station is number 2, I understand. There you go.
Do you have any suggestions for us as to how we can help if we're not called to meet and actually work on it? I'm waiting for direction. I'm just saying, how can I help? And
I do think that management, that your business manager and your general manager have to come up with a semblance of a plan, right, how they see things going forward, and then bring the LSB into it. And you need to, devote a full meeting to these things. These are not brief conversations that one can have. There's both development as well as strategic planning. Everybody thinks that's the same thing. It's not necessarily, but everything does dovetail into the same development of a plan.
So you will be working with our general manager, so maybe we will see this.
Waiting to be and right now the efforts have been on KPFK, as you know, both public and in executive session, so that takes a lot, because it's going to be the same process with T. It's going to be, okay, here's a plan. Well, you know what? Let's get more meat on it, or let's get this, or this is not really what we asked for, or it is, but we need to develop it more. So it goes back and forth. So it's, instead of it being just one meeting, it ends up being 3 meetings.
Well, because we got the PPP money, and with the addition of the PPP money, when I look at the figures, it indicates that we actually, there were many other bills that we didn't pay when we were getting the money to pay the staff. so it's a pretty serious financial situation.
Right, and my understanding
that when we do hire a general manager, we won't have any money to pay that general manager. So, do you have any idea when we might see a plan from our general manager if you're going to work it out with him before we even?
No, but I can let you know. And as I said, it has to be a collective effort. So that's, he's one piece of it, and he's interim, and some of you are veterans at your station and can also help in that regard. But, yes, the conversation will be taking place again.
Thank you, Lydia. Is there anyone else that has a question for Lydia? We have about 2 or 3 minutes left.
Mr. Chair, I have a comment.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
I think I'm going to dial the dial back a bit so that we don't leave not knowing, understanding what a previous question that I failed to address from one of the members about PPP. There is no new authorization from Congress for any new PPP, so nobody's in line for anything, and it very well may not happen because of the Republicans and the Democrats fighting with each other and not going to the table. But there is $175 billion left in the EIDL loan purse, and the PPP purse, rather. And the EIDL loan, of course, stands on its own. But just for the record, for anyone who didn't understand the answer to the question that was put, there is no new PPP authorized to this date.
Yeah, that's my understanding as well. Is that your understanding, Lydia?
Yes.
Yeah.
And my quote was just from our banker.
Yeah. Any other questions? Anything else for Lydia? Well, I guess we'll wrap up then. Lydia, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
You gave more than we could have expected. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we might as well conclude now. Is there any motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right, because we're out of time, I'm just going to declare that we're adjourned.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Lydia. Thank you, Anita. Thank you, everyone.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, y'all. Good night.